Beth Wakely for the seminar Managing School Libraries. I'd like to introduce my class to Diana Detzel, who is a sales representative for the ProQuest databases. Before I start asking you about your job and yourself and your company, let me tell you a little bit about my students. I have a fairly large class this summer. They're all interested in becoming school librarians. I have students from the state of Missouri. I have one from New Mexico. I have someone from Illinois, and I have two who live in Kansas. So we're all over the place. I have students who are currently teachers who are interested in moving into the school library. I have some that will be starting a new job when the school semester starts in August, and they will become a school librarian, but this is new to them. I have others. I have someone who's in a college library who's interested in getting into school librarianship. I have others. I have one in a private school. I have others that are in the public library working as youth librarians. Some of them already have their master's degree, and some are working on their master's. Some are just working on certification. So we're all newbies, though, to school librarians. Some have used databases with kids before. Some have only used them with adults or college students. So we're all over the place. Okay, I told you about us. Now I'd like you to tell me about your territory and what ProQuest is, and just a few words about your company.
Okay. ProQuest is, we're full of all kinds of databases that support all levels. We have great products for higher ed and also public libraries, and then we also support high school, middle school, and elementary students with our products. So we have kind of a full run of products. I started with CSRS, which is part of ProQuest now, in 1997, so I have a pretty long history of working with school libraries and schools and providing database resources to students and teachers. And so some of our products, we have some aggregated type products, which would be, you know, kind of your full run of all the publications, and we have some carefully selected databases, we like to call them, which would kind of be the CSRS product line. And I know we're going to maybe talk about some of those some more. And then we have some products that definitely are geared towards the elementary level. And I cover about seven states, ranging from really from Missouri and west. So I go as far as New Mexico and Arizona, Colorado, and I do have Kansas and Missouri, of course, and Nebraska.
Okay. And I got to know you because at the school that I'm in, I have CSRS researcher. Now, I know that ProQuest is not part of the MoreNet databases, but you have a lot of valuable databases that many schools like to add to their collection. I'm going to just mention the CSRS researcher because I'm such a fan of it, and I believe I got to know you back when before CSRS became part of ProQuest in a merger. But what I like about CSRS and what I like about ProQuest is you allowed me to change how my students see the database. As I observed how my students, and I'm in an all-male high school, as I looked at how they were searching, they were confused and getting lost and really didn't understand subject searching. So I decided to do as a trial to see if they would do better just opening at the search screen and having keyword as our default. And then as they learned to do that, then I could take them back and we could go into the subject search. And I really appreciate that you let me do it because now we automatically link to that screen. It's not as busy as the opening page. Now, I have students who would prefer to go to the opening page, but they know how to do that. So I am just very enthused that you were so customer-friendly and allowed me to experiment with this so that my boys could see this.
Our biggest goal is usage by our customers. So if you don't get the usage, you're not going to get them to keep using it and renewing it. So we're definitely flexible with customer needs. And a product like CSRS, as you were kind of mentioning before, you get more of aggregated type databases with the MoreNet contract if you're part of Missouri. And actually lots of states provide one aggregated database. And in Missouri, it's EBSCO, which is, aggregated would be your full run of all kinds of newspapers and magazines where you get the whole thing cover to cover of multiple hundreds and thousands of magazines and newspapers. And SIRS, as you mentioned, is we have a team of editors who actually picks and chooses all the articles according to the age level that they're looking at. So for a researcher, it's more of a 7-12 kind of product, or grades 7 through 12. So every resource they put on there, they're saying, should this go in the database, and what level is it, and why? So they're carefully choosing for the students, which really helps maximize their search results. And they also do Lexile reading levels on all of those.
Yeah, I really appreciate the way SIRS updates so frequently, too. Mm-hmm. And then I attended a meeting sometime where they said that they actually look to see what topics students are looking for, and then they tailor the database to that. And that was real obvious to me after 9/11. Because after 9/11, we had more papers written on terrorism or some aspect, and I could not find information. At that point, my collection did not have enough. Now, it's a different story.
Right.
But that was such a surprise, and we went to SIRS, and SIRS was able to help us more quickly than anyone else. And I like the fact, too, that one of the things you do is a topic of the month, mm-hmm. and you keep them. So there's an archive, and I still have students who will do, want to write a paper on terrorism. They just don't know where to start, and those archived topics are really a nice place for them to start and just to focus, because sometimes uh-huh. they really don't. A high school student doesn't know how to focus.
Yeah, they're really good about that. We have a focus on terrorism unit that's been up since 9/11, like you mentioned, and We always have, if there's anything national thing going on, like right now we've got the election, there's a special section on the election, and they're really good about capturing what students are researching right now and making it easy for them to pull up those topics.
Okay, one of the things that is important to schools is access. Would you just talk a little bit about how your company provides access to the school or the library?
Sure. What we normally do is, once we set up a subscription, we do it a number of ways. The best way typically is for the school or district to provide us with their IP range, their IP addresses, so that it's seamless for the student. So if you provide us your IP, and it's called IP authentication then when the student clicks on the icon for the database, which we provide you as well, or a lot of people will put it on their library homepage or wherever they keep their resources that way for the kids to go to. When the students click on that, it opens that page right up without having to log in with a username or password. And then we provide free remote access with all our products, so home access, remote access, and then we let you also designate a username and password for that. A lot of people do their school name and the mascot or something like that that's easy for the kids to remember. And if you don't provide IPs, which we have plenty of customers who don't want to provide IPs, or they can't for some reason because they can't separate them out from other schools, then you can just designate a username and password that you would like your students to use when they're at school, and they can also use that at home. So,
okay, and one thing that I will mention too that my students won't know, licensing agreements, you really need to read your licensing agreement. And when you sign this license, or whoever in the district or school signs it, this is just for access for those students. It's not for the whole world. And so they are asking us to be pretty careful about those username and passwords, and we can't post them on the Internet, for example.
Right.
And one thing I've done that I stumbled across is I make a little wallet-sized card on colored paper and hand it out, and if the student, I ask them to put it in their wallet, and I tell them that if they lose it, I have a box of them, a small box, right up on the CERC desk, and all they have to do is ask, and we'll give them another one. Because inevitably, when they need it, it's at school or it's late at night, mm-hmm. and they just remembered they have that assignment. And as you said, they're using them 24 hours a day, at least the high school students are.
That's a great, the wallet one is such a great idea. And I've seen bookmarks, people put their passwords on bookmarks that go in the kids' books. Or
yeah, and I have a friend who does it on stickers and has them put the sticker on the back of their ID.
Yeah, that's a great idea, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, you have to have something to help them, and once you know your population, you'll figure out what that would be.
And it all starts with their access points. If you can give them easy access to the things that you provide and buy for your students and your teachers, the more they're going to get used.
Absolutely. Okay, we sort of mentioned statistics. Would you explain how ProQuest helps the librarian keep statistics?
Sure. You can get statistics on any product that you purchase from us, and you can get it in a number of ways. And usually in your opening email or the email when you first get access to your products, there will be some verbiage in there about logging into your admin site and how to get statistics. But a lot of people lose that or don't have that information when they really want to go get the statistics. So it's a matter of calling our customer service line or calling your sales rep and just saying, I need to get some stats set up. What we can do is set up monthly stats, which a lot of people do monthly. Or some people just at the end of the year will say, I want stats for the year. When they're deciding, you know, they're making their purchase decisions, they'll look at their stats for the year for all their products and see where they're at. So you can do it a number of ways.
Right. I personally prefer the monthly because
mm-hmm.
I think it's easier to see trends. And then I track them year by year so that I can see what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that when you get that initial setup,
uh-huh.
That you help get everything set up. How else does your firm help the school librarian?
Oh, we have a number of things that can help out. First of all, we have a fabulous website. It's ProQuestK12.com, and if you're a customer, we provide you that website. But that has a number of things you can use to. We have pre-done flyers that you can use to hand out resource notices. Basically, you can send them to parents. We have pre-made flyers for parents, teachers, students. You can just go plug in your information and print it out, and it's flyers that are ready to go. We have all kinds of user documents that you can use as well, sample searches, all kinds of things that are available just to print and hand out. We have some Google versus our different database documents that are fabulous to hand out to teachers. So say if you have CSRS Researcher, you can print this CSRS Researcher versus Google document, and it just helps explain why you should use a subscription database over something such as Google. Very valid reasons, and it really helps teachers who are kind of used to using Google kind of understand what the value is of a subscription paid for database.
Okay. I had a fellow student a year ago when I was taking a grad class for some extra hours, mentioned to me that she felt that we were a bridge generation, that we were excited about all of this new technology, and coming up, the students were excited and didn't even sometimes see why there was excitement because they'd always had it,
mm-hmm.
but there are still a lot of people out there who don't completely get it.
Right.
And as a school librarian, it's our job to bring them forward and have them join our club. Okay, one other thing I would like to mention, too, is you do have training sessions.
Yes, and I did. I got kind of caught up on the Google. We offer online training. We have podcasts that are pre-done. You can go listen to podcasts on our databases. If you just want to do, you know, one section, maybe you want to understand one portion of the database, you can click on a two-minute podcast. We have, pre-recorded trainings. You can sign up for one-hour online sessions with a live trainer. And then we also do on-site training. And based on kind of how big your district is and if there's a trainer in the area, it's usually free. And I was a trainer for ProQuest for almost 5 years before I went back into a sales position. And I absolutely love doing that. And I did lots of large teacher trainings, small teacher trainings, big district-wide trainings. So that is definitely one of the best ways to get people using the databases that you offer.
Yeah, I agree. You do a good job with your training. Something else I'd like you to mention is one thing I like in which I found I am in a school where students and teachers actually still read the magazine. They like to physically take the magazine off the magazine rack when it comes in, sit down, go through it, read it. And a lot of my teachers will come to me then in 6 weeks and say, you know, I've reached a point in such and such a lesson, and I can remember reading this article in Time or U.S.
Yeah.
News. One nice thing I've noticed with ProQuest is you can search by title.
Yep.
So that you can go back and find that article and then provide a link for the students or have them search for it once they get the exact name.
Yeah,
now,
even if you don't have the exact name, you can search keywords of a title, too.
True.
So, which is great.
Right.
Can't remember the exact title.
Right. And sometimes mine aren't quite clear about which magazine it was because they're heavy magazine readers. One other thing I'd like to mention, because a lot of teachers, and I know students, but I'm interested in teachers right now, do not understand what an embargoed title is or an embargoed magazine or periodical. Would you just briefly mention what that is?
Yeah. Sometimes you'll come across a title that you go to pull it up and it'll say embargoed, or it'll be a blank screen basically and it'll say embargoed. And sometimes you can get the abstract, or sometimes you can get certain versions of that. But basically it's a period, it's kind of like a blackout period where we're not getting that information due to some of the an issue or just due to the rights of the publisher. And it just happens to do with our basically our contract with that publisher.
Exactly. And I tell my boys that the company that's publishing this particular magazine doesn't want to lose its online, it doesn't want to lose its paper subscriptions,
yep,
or its bookstore purchases. And so that's why they're doing it. And so, you know, that's why I also have the hard copy, that if you really want to read this, you've seen it at Borders or Barnes & Noble,
mm-hmm,
and you want to read it, we've got it for you on a lot of the popular ones. Okay, I'd like to talk about how you can help the elementary, mm-hmm, student or the middle school student. We've mentioned high school.
Yeah, and we do have tons of products for high school and probably more for high school, but we do have some great elementary and middle school offerings. We talked a lot about SIRS Researcher. We have an elementary product that's for elementary, and it actually can hit middle school too. It's called SIRS Discoverer, and it is not doesn't have any of the same titles as Researcher, so you're going to have a whole slew of different publications that address the K through 8 reading levels. You're going to have Lexile scores there too that are much lower and cater to the needs of a younger researcher. But again, SIRS Discoverer is a carefully selected database for that level. So different set of editors who are picking and choosing everything that goes on that database.
That's one thing I like about your company. You do focus on the age and the,
mm-hmm,
reading level of the various students.
Yeah, they do a good job at that. And then we have another product that's very popular in elementary schools. It's called CultureGrams. And many people use that product in print for years. It's a wonderful print product. And ProQuest purchased CultureGrams, the company, in 2004 and really helped them go online with their product. And it's been a hugely popular elementary and middle school product. High schools use it too because it does have it spans all the reading levels, but,
mm-hmm,
it's been particularly popular in the elementary middle levels.
Right. Yeah, I've known quite a few middle schools that have subscribed to CultureGrams.
Yeah, we have a lot of district-wide subscriptions to that product because it very much covers the whole gamut of K through 12 in a very nicely done way, and it covers geography and foreign language, and people use it in family and consumer science. We have recipes. It's just a really, really neat product.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay, one thing we didn't mention was how a company like ProQuest charges. My students are new to this.
Uh-huh.
How do you decide what price?
Typically, we do a site-based price. ProQuest doesn't normally do it based on number of student enrollment. If you're less than 300 students, we do have a small school pricing module that's very nice for very small schools. Otherwise, we do just a site-based price, and it includes home access, as I mentioned before, or remote access for free. And then we'll look at you know, A, if you have any other products from us, we definitely do bundle discounts for multiple products. And then if you're in a district, we definitely offer some good district-wide pricing, too. So we look at the number of schools in the district that are purchasing and discount it from there.
Okay, so it would be possible just for the middle schools to have a product?
Oh, sure.
Okay, or just elementary.
Yeah.
Or just a single school that for some reason.
And we do price based on the type of school. So high school price is typically bigger than the middle school price, and then the elementary price is usually a smaller price because they have smaller budgets.
Exactly. Right. I think we all have smaller budgets right at this point in time.
Yeah.
Well, I think I have covered everything I wanted to cover. Is there anything you feel we have missed?
I think kind of covered everything that we wanted to talk about. So,
well, I want to thank you very much for allowing me to record you and for my students to listen to you. And I'm going to wish you well for the rest of your summer.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me to do this. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate
it. All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
This interview was recorded in the Sisselcast Studios at the University of Missouri-Columbia.